Tonight is the fourth shiur already in our series about waiting between basar b'chalav. So we got a little bit sidetracked last week, and what we're really trying to do is discuss the very important shaila. What does a person do? How much is he mechuyev to make his children, or let's say a chola, wait in between eating fleishigs and eating milchigs? So in order to really understand the context of that question, we got into a whole discussion of the different categories of chola. Just to recap and then go a little further, we discussed the first category is a chola sheyesh bo sakana. So what do we allow for a chola sheyesh bo sakana? Again, just to say the four categories in simple terms, it's number one, a chola sheyesh bo sakana means you have a real life threatening illness. Second category is sakanas aver, meaning the person's life is not in any real danger, but he might make loss, he might have loss of this limb. For example, loss of an eye, loss of an ear. Obviously, if it's one of the evarim shanashama tluya bahem, if we're talking about losing the heart or losing the lungs, then that's called chola sheyesh bo sakana. That's not sakana zever. Third category is stam, chola sheyesh bo sakana, and we'll see in a few minutes exactly what that is. And the fourth is mechash ba'alma, means somebody is really generally okay, just they have a mechash ba'alma, something is bothering them, they just have something minimal that's stopping them from having the regular Shabbos experience that they would normally have. Fine, so we discussed these four issues. And just to recap on the chola sheyesh bo sakana, because that's what we got through, we said that a chola sheyesh bo sakana, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos even for Yisurim Daraisa. You're allowed to do everything to save a person's life, pikuach nefesh is doch Shabbos. And the strange Magen Mishnah that the Magen Avram quotes is that you're allowed to do anything, even seemingly something which doesn't really seem to be a connection to saving his life. For example, moving the bed up and down. Aye, that's electric. How are you allowed to do that? Or going to buy the newspaper, turning on the TV. Chola sheyesh bo sakana, who asked me to turn on the TV, am I allowed to do that? It seems from the Magen Avram, who quotes the Magen Mishnah in Simen Shin Chav Ches, that's Hilchos Chola sheyesh bo sakana b'Shabbos. So over there it would seem that one is allowed to do everything, because we are matir on Shabbos to do anything and everything for a Chola sheyesh bo sakana. It's a very troubling Magen Mishnah. It's hard to understand what exactly it's about. And we mentioned that perhaps this is based on Hutra or Dechuya. Maybe we should say, some of the Achronim want to suggest, that Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos is not simply Dechuya, it is Hutra Legamri. So therefore we would be allowed to do anything and everything for a Chola, although this may not lend itself to the specific medical treatment that the Chola really needs. Now, Avnei Nezer, on the other hand, we had a bunch of questions. How do you say it's Hutra? How can that be? We had a whole bunch of problems that come up in Shulchan Aruch if you assume Hutra versus Dechuya and how you fit Yom Kippur into that equation. So the Avnei Nezer says very simply, the reason why you're allowed to move the bed or do other things, even though that doesn't seem to be lending a hand to the medical treatment, is for the following. Because you really don't know if the chola by laying down or sitting up is going to worsen his condition. So therefore you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to move the bed up or down. Why? Because perhaps that's really a part of the life-threatening illness. We really don't know. So that is the way the Avnei Nezer understood it. That's also the way my father explained it to me. He thought that was a Davar Pashut, and he thought it was very schwer to say that it's based on Hutra Dechuya. And from there, we went on to Moshe's question, which was about Yoledes. So how do we understand the category of Yoledes? And that was something that was a little bit of an enigma, because if you look in the sheet from last week, which I just gave out, so number Beis, it says, on the top of the sheet, it says, Hamtanam Ben Basel Chalav Gimel. So if you look at number Beis in that sheet, over there there are Archaim, I'm sorry, in Shulchan Aruch Archaim Simen Shin Lamed Sif Aleph, it says that a Yoledes is considered a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, but then it says, Mikol Makom, V'chol Ma'asheichon L'shanas Mishanin. We try to be Mishana as much as possible for Yoledes. Why? Didn't we just say before that for a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, we are allowed to be Mechala Shabbos across the board, even things that seemingly are not really connected to the medical treatment? So what's going on? How come by Yoledes is different? The answer that most Achronim say is that yes, a Yoledes, the Magen Mishnah says as follows, that a Yoledes is in the category of a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, but generally a Yoledes is really in not such hot water. She's not in such real danger. So therefore we would assume, yes, she's in the category of Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, certainly drive to the hospital, do whatever you have to do, but if you could do it, it's not really so life-threatening like somebody who, Rahman al-Tzlan, has a heart attack or somebody who really has something else. Usually we have the Yoledes under control. So therefore, we would assume you should try to do a shinoi. If that shinoi is going to in any way jeopardize the life of the woman or the baby, obviously you should not be Mishana. So we discussed last week, just parenthetically, once we were talking about Yoledes, we discussed the interesting discussion about going to be near the hospital for a Shabbos. Does one have to go out of his way to make sure to be Mechala Shabbos as little as possible when his wife is about to give birth? So I don't know if everyone remembers, but I said last week that when my wife was in her 9th month, we went to New Hyde Park for Shabbos, and we stayed on the block of the hospital. And I said that every Friday, Rav Asher Weiss called me and made fun of the fact that we were being machmir like the Magen Avraham from the Sefer Chassidim. If you look in Rav Asher Weiss's Tshuva Sefer, which came out this year, I photocopied the page. This is Simon Chafei in a Sefer. It's a Tshuva written to me. And I chose not to have my name written in there because of the background of the story. So here is Simon Chafei. He writes about this very topic. Ha'im ho medes laledes, a woman who's about to give birth. Does a woman really have to go near the hospital in order to make sure not to add to the Chilul Shabbos that's necessary for her natural and healthy birth of her child? So he says, somebody, some strange guy asked me, so some strange person asked Rav Asher Weiss the question, should we assume that a person has to go out of his way in the 9th month and make sure that him and his wife stay near the hospital for Shabbos as not to cause any extra Chilul Shabbos than necessary? Now, obviously, if the hospital is not in a populated area and there's nowhere you could stay for Shabbos that would be comfortable, obviously that's not what we're talking about. Over here, we did have the option to go to New Hyde Park. It's not so crazy. There's a regular Jewish community right on the block of the hospital. The shul is right down the block. No big deal. From what I understand, North Shore is not that way. From what I understand, North Shore is not, right, is not really close to a Jewish community. So, right, so to assume that a woman's going to have to stay in Great Neck and walk 2 hours till she gives birth, that's not really so reasonable. But certainly, there are people who in the 9th month go further away. Let's say there are people who will go to their parents or in-laws for Shabbos, even though that's further from the hospital. That's certainly something that's not recommended. The question is over here, must I go out of my way to be closer to the hospital in order to be memayin chilul Shabbos? So look at this tshuva. Hinei kasav Magen Avraham bereish Shimon Shin Lamed. Kishetagia lechodesh hatshiyi. This is an exact direct quote from the Magen Avraham. When it comes to the 9th month, yazmin hakol me'erev Shabbos. A person, the couple, should get everything ready on erev Shabbos. Shelo yichalu Shabbos. Obviously, if you have to be mechalal Shabbos, you do what you have to do. But Magen Avraham says, quoting the Sefer Chassidim, that one should be careful to get everything ready as much as possible, that there should be no chilul Shabbos. Vehevi came a Sefer Chassidim. Milashona mashma. From the Magen Avraham, it would seem lechora, the yesh bazet tzar al pi halacha. Magen Avraham doesn't just quote Midas Chassidus and Baba Maisis, the Magen Avraham quotes halacha l'maisa. So over here, if the Magen Avraham quotes the Sefer Chassidim, so it must be that one really has to go out of his way to be careful, not to be mechal Shabbos unless he really has to. So therefore, he writes as follows, Ach be Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Aleph, over there in Siman Shin Lamed, the Mishneh Berurah says as follows, V'lachain, min haro'oi. When the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Sefer Chassidim, he doesn't say Chayiv. He says Min Haroi. It would seem the nice thing to do Leisha Shehigia Lachodesh Tishi. When a woman gets to her 9th month, LaHazmin Mechal Erev Shabbos Kol Adram and Tzrachim La Lashema Tizdamein Leidasa B'Shabata V'Lo Titzdarach Lechal Shabbos. So we don't want her to have to be Mechal Shabbos unnecessarily. So therefore, when it comes closer to the time of her birth, she should actually get everything ready. Umashma. Sorry, Miloshon Zeh Mashma. Rav Asher Weiss says, from the way the Mishneh Berurah quotes this halacha, it would seem to us, De'en kan halacha psuka ela me'ein etza toba. The Mishneh Berurah is not simply saying that this is the halacha, this is what a person must do. Rather, it's just an etza toba. Uvi yoser mashma kein barach ha-shulchan. If you look in the Aruch ha-shulchan, Simen Shin Lamed Siv Gimel, the Aruch ha-shulchan writes, Chasidim anshei maisa. Not everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the street. Rather, it's only for Chasidim anshei maisa, like it's called the Sefer Chasidim. Right? It wasn't made for everybody. It was Midas Chasidus. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that this is for Chasidim Anshei Maisa Kishaisha Magia Lachodesh Atshi Machinim Erev Shabbos Kal Masha Tzarech Deulai Tichra Leile B'Shabbos Lo Yitztarchu Lechal HaShabbos V'hine Makar Lach HaZub B'Sefer Chasidim Simen Tav Tav Nun Hei B'Sham Kasav. Listen to this. Sefer Chasidim says in the original source, Isha Hara, a woman who is expecting a child, L'Kvar Higia Lachodesh Atshi Leher Yona, and now she's already holding by her 9th month. Be'erev Shabbos Im Chashecha Yatmin Mayim Chamin, she should go ahead and prepare hot water, meaning we assume that she's going to want a hot tea, let's say. That's what the Sefer Chassidim assumes. Woman who just gave birth is going to want a hot tea. So why be Mechal Shabbos to cook up the hot tea after she has the baby? Why not prepare the hot tea on Erev Shabbos and just do hatmana, put it on the side that it should stay warm? Kedei Shem Teled B'Shabbos or B'Lel Shabbos Harei HaMayim Cham Mizumanim. We're going to have the water already prepared for her. B'Lo Yichalu Shabbos. And Mikivan She'en Lanu Makar La'an Hagazu Elami Sefer Chassidim, says Rav Asher Weiss, since the only makar of this practice is from the Sefer Chassidim, The Magen Avraham quotes it, Mishneh Berurah quotes it, Aruch HaShulchan, but it's all from this one source in the Sefer Chassidim. Belvade vinu Morei dehilchasa b'daras achronim she'em b'zeh elamidas chassidus. Rav Asher Weiss claims that the Morei HaRav of all the previous generations assume that this is a mere midas chassidus, sh'arei sefer zeh shekamo kein hu midas chassidus v'anhagas de kedusha. Rav Asher Weiss says, we don't find such a precedent that one has to go out of his way in order not to come in contact with Pikuach Nefesh. Now that, my father says, is strictly not true, because we know the Shulchan Aruch says, Asur lahaflik b'svina, 3 days before Shabbos. Why? So there are a whole bunch of reasons. Over there, in fact, the Mishneh Berurah does something very uncharacteristic of the Mishneh Berurah, but in that siman about Emafligim Misvina, he gives a whole lengthy introduction before he gets to the comments on the Shulchan Aruch. He gives a whole background of the sugya and all the shitas in the Rishonim, why we assume there's an Isser to be Maflig Misvina. But the simple understanding of the Rishonim is the reason why you're not allowed to go on a boat trip within 3 days to Shabbos is because you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos on the boat trip. So, if the boat trip is going to take you 5 weeks anyway, okay, so you have to be Mechal Shabbos because it's going to take you a few weeks anyway. But if you're going on a 2 day trip, let's say, and now you're leaving on Thursday afternoon or Friday, so that is something that the Shulchan Aruch says is not permissible. It's not Shabbos now. So what's the Isser? What's the problem? The answer is that since I know that I'm putting myself in a situation whereby I'm going to have to come to Chil Shabbos, so I'm not allowed to do that. Emaf Ligim Asvina. That's an Afna Halach in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody paskins that way. That's not a machlokas at all. So my father didn't quite understand what Rav Asher Weiss means over here when he says that we don't have a precedent in stopping myself from Chil Shabbos before Shabbos. Not true. It's not true. If I could be Mamayit in Chil Shabbos, I do have to be Mamayit. Yeah.
Except in 2013, we have kosher trips that leave on Friday because times have changed, so there's nothing they have to do.
Who said it's permissible?
I didn't say permissible.
I don't think it's permissible.
Trips, they leave on
I don't think it's permissible. Who doesn't go on Shabbos? What do you mean? When do they start? Oh, so Sunday to Sunday is different. When? There are a lot of... Someone actually, it's interesting, someone in the shul actually asked me if I could once prepare a shiur about cruises. All the shadows that come up about a cruise. So when we get to that, maybe we'll discuss this as well. Right, okay.
They
left on Monday to be
away on Shabbos. That's what you're saying. They're 7 days cruise. I'm just, they're talking about 3 days before, and I'm saying they
leave. Okay. Well, if you're doing the whole thing just for a leisure cruise, who said that's mutter? To go away for 5 weeks and be Mechal Shabbos just because you're on a leisure cruise, who said that's allowed? So that's the question. How much Chil Shabbos is involved in going on a boat trip? That's a big question.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't talking about getting into a car and driving.
Right.
You know, it's warming up the water before yeah. Shabbos and stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're listening to two different things. Here it's, you know you're going to be with Hallel Shabbos.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get into the car and you're going to go with
You don't know. I don't know if she's going to give birth on Shabbos.
No, but if she does, you know you're going to get into the car.
Okay, but it's seven, it's 6-1 chances that she won't give birth today.
Okay. But over here, if she doesn't give birth, you're not going to be with Hallel Shabbos at all.
Okay.
Here you will.
No, over there, if you go on the cruise, it's lav dafka, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos.
You're talking about if she gives birth on Shabbos.
Okay.
Here, if she gives birth on Shabbos, you're not necessarily going to warm up water. You're saying she doesn't want tea, you're not going to warm it up. I mean, it's not a definite thing. Here, you're going to be definitely going to be driving the car.
So let's keep reading. Let's keep reading.
It's warming up the water.
It's for the baby. Yeah. So you have to... Yeah.
Do you have to take into consideration using Hatzala or taxi, something like that? With a guy to set up a.
What do you mean? If you have a choice to use a taxi instead of using Hatzala?
There are three different ways to drive yourself, call Hatzala, or make up with a taxi company.
So it depends. If time is of the essence and you think there's any slight suffix of Cholish Yesh B'Sakana, then you drive yourself. You drive yourself.
Or Hatzala.
But you could probably get there faster. I don't know. No? How does it work? You can say. Right? What? Oh, no. If you're, okay. If it's like that, then obviously. But if you have time, then certainly you have to be memayid in the Chil Shabbos and call the Call the taxi.
In advance, are you supposed to make these?
Why not? Okay. What do you mean? The post. Yeah, the post can even say. The post can even say if you have an option. Let's say you have the issue. It's a good question. Let's say you have the issue. I'm going to have to call a taxi on Shabbos, right? Even if I arrange it before, I'm going to have to call them. So they say you should dial it before Shabbos and have it in your ringer and have it in your recent calls. This way, you'll do even less chilul Shabbos because you're just going to push one button and that's it. We try to be memayin chilul Shabbos as much as we can, even when we say that it's mutter. So then he continues over here. He says, "La'anias daiti bar mi kol anal de'im azel amidas chasidus v'la halacha psuka v'gam lamatzina darbisha embo tircha yisera de lamatzina b'sefer chasidim el gabi hatmanas chamin." He says the sefer chasidim only said it about heating up the water, but over here we're talking about a tircha that you're going to have to go with your wife to spend Shabbos in another community. That he feels the Sefer Hasidim even would never have been mechayiv a person to do. Every Shabbos, the Chashei Hashem Otircha Beotzav, a pasha to answer Achlahotzi Otzav for the Truach Tircha Yisera to go take out a hotel room near the hospital. That's something that he assumes is not something that we're mechayiv to do. Next paragraph, the Kvar Kasev and Mesilas Yisharim, Nimtzis Lamecha, Balis Chasid Chasidus Amiti, someone who wants to take upon himself a midas Chasidus. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. Tzarech Sheyishkol Kal Meisav Lefi Hatoldos Hanim Shachas Bahem. He has to make sure that he really weighs up to that midas chasidus, and he's really holding there. Lefi atanoim, hamislabim lahem, lefi ha'es, lefi ha'chever, lefi ha'nose, lefi ha'mak. Fine, so he goes into a whole discussion here about whether or not a person should take upon this midas chasidus, and the last line he says, v'yadati sheish lefalpo bazeh besugis rabos, achla halacha pashut ubar kanal. So he thinks it's a davar pashut that a person is not mechuyev to be machmir. My father thought it's a davar pashut a person is mechuyev to be machmir. Each one didn't hear the other one. Very interesting. So we took my father's approach, and we were machmer. Obviously, it's going to be something that's uncomfortable or inconvenient for the wife, and she's not going to feel as comfortable as she would have otherwise being in labor in someone else's basement. Obviously, it's something that you have to take into consideration. Everyone has to make their own cheshbon. So that's just to tie up the loose ends from last week about a yoledus, and that closes up the discussion about the first category of chola, which is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, which again, we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos even for malacha d'araisa. Let's move on to the next category. What do you mean? If the nurse in the hospital can put the bed up or down, and she's standing right there, meaning, of course, yeah, yeah.
Even though you can do it.
Yeah, but not if it's going to be.
Unless you hold
yeah, the yeah, but we generally don't assume that way. Yeah. Yeah, always better to be Memayin Chilul Shabbos as much as we can. Okay, so let's move on. So now we have the next category, which is a Chola She'ema Sakana. And again, Chola She'ema Sakana is going to be broken up into a few categories when it comes to which malachas we're going to be matir. One category is Sakana's Eber, one is just a regular Chola She'ema Sakana, and one is a Meichosh Ba'alma. So let's start like this. What is the definition of a Chola She'ema Sakana? So in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that it means shenafal machmas cholyo lemishkav, that the chola falls down onto a bed machmas mishkav, meaning generally on Shabbos he sits up by the table, he goes to shul, he does whatever he has to do, but this week because he's not feeling well, he's bound to his bed. That is the definition of a chola she'ema sakana. So what does this mean? So that doesn't mean that you need nefila mamish, that he falls down and he can't get up. It just means that he's not functioning as he normally would. He's bedridden, yeah, but it doesn't mean he can't go to the bathroom. It doesn't mean he has to be, you know, completely incapacitated. It's not what it means. It just means that he's not functioning as normally as he otherwise would have. So therefore, based on this, the Ramah says that in Simon Reish Ayin Vav, the Ramah tells us, look in number Gimel, again, on the sheet from last week. You have it? With the, not the Tshuva sheet. Another one? So look at number Gimel there. The Ramah says the following. Ba'artzos Karos, in those cold lands, meaning you're in Europe, and you don't have any heat, right? So, mutter la eni Yehudi lasas madura b'shvil haktanim. I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew on Shabbos to go ahead and light a fire for me for the children who are cold. Umutaram hagdolim l'schamim bo. Once the non-Jew makes the fire for the ktanim, so then the gdolim in the house are also allowed to benefit from the fire. Listen to this. Va'afilo b'shvil hagdolim mutter. Now says the Ramah, this is what it used to be, but nowadays, even for the gedolim, it's mutter in makar gadol. Meaning what? If it's freezing cold, and we really can't bear the temperature in the house, we have a right to go to a non-Jew and ask him to flip on the heat, or to light up the coals, whatever it is for the fireplace. The Aruch HaShulchan says, well, how do we determine exactly what's considered freezing cold? Aruch HaShulchan says, you have to know how mefunuk a person is and how comfortable we expect the house to generally be. And is this considered a cholo sheim sakan or not? In fact, Rav Moshe writes an interesting idea that what happens if, let's say, I leave the mazgan on for Shabbos, I leave the air conditioner on for Shabbos, and then the temperature changes so drastically on Shabbos that it's so freezing cold in here from the outside temperature that the air conditioner is killing us. So what are we supposed to do? So Rav Moshe says in that case also, that fits into the same guideline as the Ramah says over here, and I would be allowed to call upon a non-Jew to turn off my air conditioner the same way.
That's even if everybody in the house is not sick, nobody's sick, it's just cold.
Nobody's sick, but it's freezing.
Right.
It's freezing.
So how about if the boiler breaks?
So just give me a second. So now look, one second. Now let's finish the Ramah. Shehakol, why is this true? Why are we allowed to ask a non-Jew to turn on the heat for us? Why is that permissible? Says the Ramah, Shehakol cholim etzel hakar. Because when it comes to being freezing cold, everyone is considered a cholim. Why? Because our general temperature that we feel comfortable with is 70 degrees, I don't know. What do we generally have? What? Between 68 and 72. If all of a sudden our house is going to drop to 55, right? If our homes are going to drop now, whatever. If our homes are going to drop now to 50, I live in an apartment building, so we always have heat. Yeah. Whatever. So if you're, let's say on, all of a sudden it drops on Shabbos to 55, that's something that's extremely uncomfortable for everybody in the house. So therefore the Ramah says, HaKol Cholim Eitzor Kor. Why? Again, because we said, what does it mean to be a cholo sheim sakana? Means I'm not going to function normally. I'm not going to do things in my normal way. Says the Ramah, don't take this heter out of control and don't think that you're allowed to do it just because, you know, you're a mechesh balma, just because you're a little bit uncomfortable. Don't think you're allowed to go ahead and have someone turn on the heat. That's what the Ramah tells us over here. So you see clearly from this Ramah that we would allow Amir Lanachri in order to turn on the heat, right? So Amir La'akum is for sure mutter. My father said that taking this Ramah a little further, we would assume also that if nowadays a person comes home Shabbos in the middle of the summer and it's 95 degrees outside and it's boiling hot, we would be allowed to bring in an Adi Yehudi, a non-Jew, to turn on the air conditioner as well. Many Achronim say like this. Why? Because Tosfos says in Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Yoser Yesh Lehispala Lehinatza Me'achom Me'asher Min Hakor. Person could get much more sick from standing in the heat than from standing in the freezing cold. Why you stand in the cold? You put on a sweater. You stand in the heat, you're going to faint. Right? Push it. So therefore, we assume that just like the Ramah says, my father assumes that just like the Ramah says, one is allowed to go ahead and ask a non-Jew to turn on the heat, so too nowadays, we are mufunakim. We are used to living with air conditioning. So if the air conditioner turns off on Shabbos, you're allowed to go ahead and ask a non-Jew to turn it back on. Yeah?
So why is it the Mishnah Berurah, if you're sitting in a room that has no lights, and it's dark, and the heat, and a guy comes by, and turns on the light, you have to go out because you can't have enough of that light? What you're telling me is just opposite.
No, because that's not chola. That's not chola.
We're talking about chola. We're talking about even, wait a minute, it's not. We said even if it's the 95 degrees, and you're uncomfortable, you can do it on the air.
Oh, because I preface that by saying that it's considered like a chola. That's what Tosa says. You can get more sick from being boiling hot than from being freezing cold. So if the Ramah says that for being freezing cold, you're allowed to ask the non-Jew to come and turn on the heat, so then for sure I'm allowed to ask the non-Jew for the boiling hot to come and turn on the air. That's
so I'm hearing that if in the middle of the winter,
yeah,
you wake up on Shabbos morning, the boiler's out, it broke.
Yeah.
You can't call a guy to come and turn it on because it's broken. You're allowed to call the oil company to come or the gas company to come and fix the boiler. They're going to come on Shabbos, or make phone call number one, and they should come and fix the boiler because it's 40 degrees.
Amir Lenachri. It's Amir Lakum.
Yeah, but you're making a phone call.
Yeah, but you're making a phone call.
You're making a phone call, you mean? Nah, we live in a neighborhood where there's so many guyim around. It's not like... No, but you can ask him. That's Amir Damira. You can ask him to call. Yeah. Yeah, what do we have a Shaila today about Amir Damira? Let me think. A Shaila someone just called today. A lot of people called today. A lot of interesting things. But there was something about Amir Damira. Give me a second. A very interesting Shaila. There's a question, what's the status of Amira da Amira? Should we assume that if something is... Oh, here was the question. Yeah. A guy runs a business. Very interesting question. Somebody started a new business. This totally has nothing to do with chol at all. So just turn your brain off for a second. Just listen. It's interesting. So somebody runs a business, and he has, in this business that he set up, he basically ships cakes and cookie pastries nationally. So he's a provider. He doesn't make anything. He doesn't have a factory. He just has a deal with a bunch of companies, a bunch of bakeries, and he sends it out. He's a distributor. So basically what he said is you can order, and it's always guaranteed one-day shipping. Most of his clients are non-Jews, he said. So what he said, his question is the following. He always charges $3 shipping or $5 shipping regardless. So sometimes the shipping is actually going to cost him $10, but he takes a $5 loss. Sometimes it costs him $1.50 for the shipping, but he takes a $3, $4 profit, right? So that's basically the way it works. So he wants to know, it just dawned on him, what does he do when somebody orders? He has many people who order cakes just for Shabbos. They want a cake. A non-Jew is making a party on Shabbos. So he orders a cake that he wants to come on Shabbos afternoon. So what does he do when he has a case like that? He's doing Amir Lenachri for the Nachri. But it's not that the non-Jew is asking the UPS to come and deliver it for him, because I'm making a profit on him. So I'm asking the Nachri to do the Malacha for the Nachri. He's not asking. It's not that the customer is asking that the UPS and I'm just the middleman, the facilitator. No, I'm making money on him. So the question was, is how do we figure out how to be matur this? That's the question. How do we figure out how to be matur?
That's the
risk. Prusbel. Make a prusbel. Yeah. So that's the question. How are we going to figure out? So if anyone has any ideas, this is something that's been bothering us. What? What? Okay, it's a question, but okay, whatever, it's a question. But one of the tzadim lahakel that some of the achronim say, the Chabas Yar has, I'm sorry, the Shvus Yaakov has three tzadim lahakel when it comes to a post-mail express. That's the way he calls it. So he used to have this thing, we still have it, where you can send something and it's guaranteed overnight. So that's a question, can you do such a thing on Shabbos when you send it on Friday and it's guaranteed overnight that it's going to get to someone else on Shabbos? Obviously, if it's a reason that's a major emergency, major sakana, whatever, so you do it. The question is, dumb, it's not, but I want it to go overnight. One svar lahakel that one of that the Chavis Yar wants to say, and Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes as the halacha, is no, since it's Amira da Amira, meaning, I do Amira da Nachri, I go to the post office, I say, please send this to my friend in Honolulu. They're going to tell another person, it's going to tell someone else, it's 25 steps removed from the guy who's actually going to do the malacha. So Mamela, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Amira da Amira is mutter on Shabbos. Period. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch without any questions. What?
On Shabbos on
Friday.
Amira da Amira, meaning, no. If I ask a Nachri on Friday to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, that's Amir la'akum. That's also Amir la'akum. That's the same as Amir la'akum on Shabbos. That's the same as Amir la'akum on Shabbos. But if I do Amir da Amir, I do it 10 steps removed. So maybe Rabbi Kiva Eger says, B'shem the Chavis Yar, that should be considered like so many steps removed from me, that's for sure mutter. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger assumes. So perhaps this might be mutter as well. I call up the UPS and I say on Friday, I want you to send the pastries to this guy in Los Angeles. He's not the one who's going to actually do it. He's going to tell someone else, he's going to tell someone else, and it's going to go along the chain until it finally gets there, and the malacha is not being done by the person I asked him, who I spoke with on the phone. So maybe that's a tzad lahakel, but that's a big question, because the Tosis Yantiv writes in Maseches Gittin that when it comes to what's the heter Amir la'Amir, why should we assume that Amir la'Amir is okay? So Tosis Yantiv writes, it's like Omer Imru, by a get, when we tell somebody, I want you to be a shliach. I'm sorry, I want him to be a shliach, but I want you to go and be memana him to be a shliach. So it's twice removed. So that's a question, is that a good enough shlichus or not? Does that work? So that's a whole discussion. So the Tosis Yantiv over there talks about this, and he says that Amir la'Amir is really an offshoot of Omer Imru by a get. So Mamela, it's really not so simple that this should be mutter.
It's
yeah.
Right,
what?
It doesn't work there. Works here. What doesn't work by
right.
The
right. Exactly. Right. Correct. Correct. So that's exactly what the Tosis Yantiv points out. That's what he talks about. So this is not a simple shaila. This is not an easy shaila at all.
If you cut out the physical act of a mirror,
yeah.
Would that make a difference?
It's So how am I going to do it? Meaning I'm going to type it?
Everything you have is a computer, right?
Yeah.
They come and pick up a package.
So you're saying I'm going to type it and say I want someone to come pick it up.
On it, they read it, they scan the package.
So that's also Amir La'akum. That's also Amir La'akum.
What?
That's also Amir La'akum. Yeah.
Theoretically, when we go to the post office on Friday, theoretically, they'll let it be delivered before Shabbos. They guarantee it'll be there by Shabbos 12 o'clock.
Right.
Theoretically, to get there Friday before Shabbos.
Not if I send it at...
Not go at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. No. You won't find a post office open. But if you go... But
if I do it... What do you mean? This guy is a business that he ships nationally.
Yeah, I know. So the whole issue of whether you could order something on the internet for Shabbos. He's taking orders on Shabbos.
No, that's something else. That's because you don't need it on Shabbos.
Yes, yeah, so he's taking...
That's right, first year.
He's doing Mecca Chomenka on Shabbos.
That's a separate issue. Let's say we get around the Mecca Chomenka problem. There's no Mecca Chomenka here. The whole Mecca Chomenka happened on Friday. But over here, the delivery, the Amir La'akum, is happening on Shabbos. Okay, maybe we'll talk about this another time. I just want to point out that sometimes, yes, it is more kal, according to the Chavis Yoyer, that Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes the halacha, and he doesn't even discuss it. Rabbi Kiva Eger just says, he assumes it's mutter, that to have twice removed would be permissible. Let's move on a little bit. So we're talking... Yeah. Amir La'akum. I think so. Amir La'akum is mutter, yeah.
Back to the chayla.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between malachas, rabbana, and the rice?
Very good. So that's what we're getting to. So let's just first lay out the categories, and then we'll get to what's mutter or not. So we have a chol shema sakana, meaning he's mutter lemishkav, meaning his condition is one that stops him from functioning the way he would normally function on a regular Shabbos. So therefore, this is one of the reasons why we allow, let's say, a woman to take a birth control pill, or somebody who takes caffeine pills, or somebody who needs to take sleeping pills. So why are they allowed to take it on Shabbos? Besides, this is a gzera of refuah, you're not allowed to take pills on Shabbos. Gzera shem yishachek samamanim. So why is it mutter? Answer is because if you don't take the birth control pill, the woman won't be able to live normally. And if you don't take the caffeine pill, the person's going to be crazy all day. Or if you don't take the sleeping pill, you won't sleep all night. So mamela, these things we would allow on Shabbos because that is for a chol shem sakana, because these things stop a person from functioning normally. So, let's make it clear. Chol she'em b'sakana, you're not allowed to do any malacha d'araisa on Shabbos. Only for a chol she'esh b'sakana, it's mutter. Chol she'em b'sakana, it's aser. But malachas d'rabbanan, what you're asking, there is a hierarchy of what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, let's just get through the Chomer, then we'll ask questions. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Tesam and Aleph, that someone who is in this category of a chol she'em b'sakana, we're allowed to omer l'nachri v'osa. We're allowed to ask the nachri to do malacha for him, and the Nachri can go ahead and do it. And the Rush in Avodah Zarah has a suffix. What should we assume? Is that only for the Isra Amir Lanachri that we would allow it? Or should we assume no? Any Isra Darabanan would be permissible for a Chol Hashem HaSakana. What does the Gemara mean? Is the Gemara just giving the obvious example because they had Nachrim all over the place? So Amir La'akam is the most obvious example. Or does the Gemara mean no? Any Isra Darabanan is mutter for a Chol Hashem HaSakana. So in Simen Shin Chav Chesen Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, in Sif Yud Zayin, I didn't put it on here because it's so complicated to read. The Shulchan Aruch lays out four shittas in the Rishonim. What is the halacha with regard to these different categories of Chol Hashem HaSakana? What is permissible and what is not? So here's the Maskanas HaDvarim. If a person has Sakanas Aver, for example, we are afraid that he's going to lose his eyesight, or he's going to lose his hearing, or he's going to lose an arm or a leg or something else, so then we assume you're allowed to be over any Issa D'Rabbanan. That would certainly be permissible in order to save this Aver. An Isra D'Araisa would not be permissible for Sakana's Aver. Only an Isra D'Rabban would be permissible. And certainly Amir La'akum would also be allowed. Now, next level category is a Chol She'em Sakana, where it's no Sakana's Aver. For example, somebody who has the flu, or somebody who, again, like we said, the birth control pills, or somebody who needs a sleeping pill, something like that. So we assume that you're allowed to do an Isra D'Rabban Ayudei Shinui. So that's one step lower then a Sakana Saver. Again, Sakana Saver, we say Amir La'akum is mutter and Malacha D'Rabbanan. Over here, when we talk about someone who's not Sakana Saver, but he is a Chol She'em HaSakana, we assume you're allowed to violate a Isra D'Rabbanan Ayidei Shinui, and you don't even have to go and find a Nachri to do it. If you do the Malacha Ayidei Shinui, that is good enough. The Eglei Tal, who is the Avnei Nezer in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, so he suggests, the same as the Baal HaTanya writes, that for a Chol She'em HaSakana who's no Sakana's Aver, you're even allowed to do a Malacha D'Araisa Al Yidei Shinui. That's a big Chiddush. You're even allowed to do a Malacha D'Araisa Al Yidei Shinui. My father feels the same way, that for a Chol She'em HaSakana where there's no sakanas aver, although you're not allowed to violate any malacha d'araisa outright, you'd be allowed to violate a malacha d'araisa al yudei shinoi. So that's an important thing to point out, and you have to look in the Mishnah Berurah exactly how far to take the skula. What? We would allow a malacha d'araisa al yudei shinoi. Yeah, for sure. For sure. The chiddush is even for a cholish emes sakana with no sakana saver, we would allow you to violate a malacha d'araisa al yudei shinoi. That is a big chiddush. Sakana saver amir l'akum, yeah. Even cholish emes sakana. Yeah.
So you can take an aspirin on Shabbos if you have a headache.
We didn't get there yet. We didn't get there. That's Xavier. One second. So let's move on. Look at number Dalit on the sheet. We have in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Tes. So far so good? Yes, clear? Okay, so let's move on. We didn't get to our Shaila yet in Basar B'Chalav. Remember, that's where we're going. So, what? How many years? How many weeks do you have to wait? Yeah. You know? So look in... Yeah.
Like you said, it's eyesight.
Yeah.
So you can't do malach deraisa?
No. Only derabon. It's a big question by stitches, let's say.
But you say, but by shino you can.
With a shino you can. Yeah. Shino you can. Okay, so let's look at Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Simin Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Tes. Chol Hashem Sakana is. What does it say? Chol Hashem Sakana Mutar Bebishule Eni Yehudi. He's allowed to eat bishalakum in number dalet. Have it number dalet. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, Chol Hashem Sakana is allowed to eat bishalakum. Says the Mishnah Berurah. V'al fagab d'shal yisur d'rabanu also the Chol Hashem Sakana lechov lishdos. We don't say that a Chol Hashem Sakana is allowed to go ahead and eat any yisur d'rabanu. Of course not. We don't say he's allowed to do that. Shiny bishalani yehudi bishalakum is different. She'eni surah machmas atzmo. Because bishalakum is not really usur. For example, if you have basar b'chalav, that's really usur. But bishalakum, that's not really usur. V'gam acholim evarich alav d'be'atei rakachil. And for that matter, says the Mishnah Berurah, if the chole is going ahead and eating this bishalakum because he has no choice, let's say the akum cooked up a soup, and that's the doctors say that's what a person needs to get better. So the bishalakum is mutter. Not only that, he makes a bracha on it. Hare mevur de'ein heter l'hachol chol Hashem sakana. We see from here that you're not allowed to give a chol Hashem sakana anything that's a dabar aser, even something which is aser derabanan. Just over here, we have one exception to the rule, and we would assume you're allowed to give him bishul akum. That's the only heter we find with regard to feeding him something which is aser derabanan. The problem with this is, keeping that in mind, the problem is the Rama writes, I didn't put it on, but the Rama says in Sif Lamed Zayin there, that it's mutter to give a chol Hashem, mutter l'chol Hashem sakana lasas refuah la'atzmo. Right? What does that mean? He's allowed to go ahead and do a refuah for himself, even though asiyas refuah on Shabbos is midrabanan, it's also midrabanan because of gzera shem yishachik samamanim. So you hear the problem. One second. On the one hand, the Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to take any yisur derabanan besides for bishalakum. Why? Because bishalakum is not real machalas asuras. Basar b'chalav is real machalas asuras. Bishalakum is nothing. It's just an isur. So if a chalav has no choice, that's what he has to do. Over here, the Rama says a chalav shem sakana is what he's allowed to make the refu la'atzma. Aye, that's an yisur derabanan. So how's he allowed to do that? So the Bir Halacha writes that there are different categories of Chol Hashem Sakana on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah Berurah says that the way to answer this is that there are three Hagdaras in Malacha Shabbos. One is a Malacha D'Araisa, one is a Malacha D'Rabbanan, and one is, as you said, a Gzeira. And not all of these are so simple. So for a Chol Hashem Sakana, we would permit him to violate a Gzeira Mid'Rabbanan, but not a Malacha D'Rabbanan. That's the way the Maskana of the Mishnah Berurah seems to say. Again, one second. When it comes to a Chol Hashem Sakana that doesn't have Sakanas Aver, so we would permit him to violate a Gzeira Midrabanan, but not a Malacha Midrabanan, unless he does it Al Yedei Shinoi, like we said before. My father was Mekel, if you do the Malacha Midrabanan, my father was Mekel even to do the Malacha D'Araisa Al Yedei Shinoi. So we have three things that are mutter for a Chol Hashem Sakana. Number one, we would allow him to do a Malacha D'Araisa Al Yedei Shinoi. Number two, we would allow a malacha, a gzera midrabanan. And number three, we would allow him to eat bishalakum. Okay? So far, so good. Now, we have the third category of someone who's a mechush ba'alma. That's what you're saying. A guy has a headache. So what do you do when you're at work and you have a headache? You take an aspirin and you move on. It doesn't stop you from functioning normally. Obviously, if you have someone who has migraines and he can't pay attention to anything, he can't do it, he can't go to shul, he can't concentrate, he can't sit at the meal. Okay, so that's a chodesh shemus hakana. But if you have somebody who has a headache, and it's just a little annoying, so that's what we call a bari with a mechush ba'alma. That means he's generally healthy and everything's fine. He just happens to have a headache. For that, we assume you're not allowed to be over any malacha d'araisa. You're not allowed to be over any isur d'rabbanan. The only thing you're allowed to do is something which is kederech shehabriyim osim. For example, you're allowed to drink a tea, although the tea is going to make you feel better. Although you're only drinking the tea for refuah, so then you're allowed to drink a tea. But we would not be matir isurim d'rabbanan or gzeres d'rabbanan for someone who only has a mechush ba'alma. Okay? We're only matir gzer d'rabbanan for a choloshem sakana. Means someone has such a splitting headache that he can't pay attention, he can't function, can't sit at the table, then we would allow him to be over a gzer d'rabbanan. But for somebody who is simply a mechush ba'alma, we would not permit that. So let's just bring this all back to Basar B'chalav, then we'll get to your question. Getting back to Basar B'chalav. So the Pischei Tshuva writes, quoting the Chassam Sofer, again, let's just chazer where we're up to. You have to wait 6 hours, a couple of shitas in the Ramah. What is the Ikar Adin? So the Ramah first quotes, he thinks the minig is, only wait 1 hour between fleishigs and milchigs. Then he says that the minig is that we wait 6 hours, and the Marshal over there says, "Kol mi sheyesh ba reach Torah," anyone who has a reach Torah will wait 6 hours. Very nice, so that's what we have. So what's the halach over here when we have a chola? The guy's not feeling well, but now he's fleishigs, and he wants to drink a cup of milk. Says the Chassam Sofer, quoting the Pischei Tshuva, that there used to be an epidemic that was going around in the time of the Chassam Sofer called Choli Me'ayim. It was some sort of illness in the stomach, not clear exactly what it is. So he says that the doctors used to tell people to drink hot milk. That was the way they cured themselves from this sickness. So says the Chassam Sofer, Ein sarach lahamtin achar achilas basar yosem isha. You only have to wait 1 hour before drinking the hot milk. Why? Because Since the whole reason to wait 6 hours is simply a minog, what's the real din? The ikra din. What's the isur d'rabbanan? Sha'achas. The isur d'rabbanan is only to wait, is only to drink milk within 1 hour of having the meat. More than that is simply a minog. Okay, so we shouldn't be mezalzel on the minogim, but if a person is a chole, then we allow him to violate minogim. That's simply what we would assume here. And if he's a mechash ba'alma, we'd also allow him to be matir a minhag. So, therefore, the Chassam Sofer assumes that in the first hour, that's what the Kaf HaChaim explains in the Chassam Sofer, in the first hour, you have to wait because that's me'ikra din, that's the real din d'rabbanan. And we don't allow a person to violate dinim d'rabbanan, even if he's a chola. However, when it comes past the 6 hour, and that is simply a minhag, then we assume that as long as it's past the first hour and now it's only a minig, now the person does not have to wait any longer and he can go ahead and have his milk. That's what the Chassam Sofer says, and it's a very important shuvah halacha l'maisa. So now let's get back to the second part of the shaila. What about ketanim? What's the halacha? My son, let's say, eats schnitzel for dinner every night, and he's going to eat his dinner at 6 o'clock, and now he wants to go to sleep at 7 o'clock. But before he goes to sleep, we want to give him a cup of milk. So what's the halacha? Should we do that, or should we tell him, no, you can only have water at night? That's the question. So let's look, number one, what is, right, we all know there's a sugya, we once spoke about it in the past, there's a din of svisa l'katan. I'm not allowed to feed a katan something which is usr. So here's the question, is this considered something which is really usr and I'm not allowed to feed the katan? Or do we say, no, this is just a minig, so I don't have to make sure that my katan doesn't eat. So how far does the isr of svisa l'katan go? So we know, there's a machlek, is the Rambam and the Rashba. Obviously, svisa l'katan, I'm not allowed to feed him in isur d'araisa, like the Gemara says in Yevamos Kuf Chaf Beis, I'm not allowed to feed him shratzim, or I'm not allowed to feed him dam. But what about feeding him something which is also midrabanan? So before we get there, just to get the klalim, what's the halacha? Am I allowed to feed my katan something which is also midrabanan? No. So the halacha is machlokes, the Rambam, and the Rashba, whether I'm allowed to feed him that or not. We are generally machmir, and we assume you're not allowed to feed the katan any Isser D'Araisa or any Isser D'Rabbanan. That's an Arachayim Simen Shin Mem Gimel. So now,
even before the age of Pidah, a general, a baby, even a young child, 1 year, 2 years, doesn't matter.
It's a big discussion in the Rishonim exactly what the Gemara is talking about, but the simple understanding is yes. So now let's look at this Minchas Chinuch and Siman Shin Yud Gimel Os Yud, where he writes as follows. What about on Yom Kippur? Am I allowed to feed the child on Yom Kippur? Sounds like a wild thing to assume that anyone would think not so. Says the Minchas Chinuch as follows. Katan ben Teisha Shanim Umayla. When you have a katan who's 9 years old, Shetzarach L'chanchom B'Yom Kippur and L'sanas L'shos, when I have to teach him that he has to start fasting a little bit, also L'hachila B'Shal Shehu Yachol L'sanas, I am not allowed to go ahead and facilitate his eating on Yom Kippur. She B'Shal Shehu Tzarach L'chol, Tin Achila Zeh B'Yom Kippur K'din Achila Sisser, She Asa Min HaTorah L'Misfi Leil B'Yadayim, I am not allowed to feed him B'Yadayim something which he's not supposed to be eating because it's Yom Kippur. Even the candy man in shul, who's not mitzvah, it's not his problem, it's not his child, him also, even though the katan's not going to fast the whole day, or even though the katan, what? It already broke his fast. Still, he says, this is a whopper of a chiddush, that he says, even though the katan already ate something, still, anything outside of what he absolutely needs for his health, we are not allowed to facilitate, we are not allowed to give him. That's a big chiddush. Even if you have a chol sheyesh bo sakana, someone who's on life support, that's what the Minchas Chinuch assumes.
A pelotik in Minchas Chinuch, he says, when I have a 3-year-old kid who ate his breakfast already in the morning and now he's okay, I am not allowed to give him another morsel of food till lunch because anything that's not absolutely necessary for him to eat in Yom Kippur, I'm not allowed to give him. It's a pela of a chiddush. And in fact, I put here the Sefer HaYashal Rabbeinu Tam, which is quoted in Rabbi Avadia Yosef's Tshuva. So the Sefer HaYashal Rabbeinu Tam writes as follows, V'chach shal Ramosha mifantaiza. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rav Moshe Mifantaiza is quoted in Tosis a few places. So he asked Rabbeinu Tam, he was one of the contemporaries of Rabbeinu Tam, B'inin ha'chalos k'tanam yom kippurim, the same question that Minchas Chinuch has. So Minchas Chinuch didn't know that there was a Sefer HaYashar, but nowadays we have it. So Rehesha Rabbeinu Tam, Da'yisurim nitnu devrayim l'shiurim, Shemut l'hanik, I'm allowed to nurse the child, V'asar l'itein pas, what are you going to say? I'm allowed to nurse him, but I'm not allowed to give him food? What's the difference? Ela vadei travayu shari. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, everything's mutter on Yom Kippur, I'm allowed to give him whatever. Dekra dekamer l'sachilim l'hazer gdolim alaktanim. This that we assume you're not allowed to give an iser to a katan, lo shayich ela bedvarim ha'asurim, kemo shratzim dal metruma. That's only by something which is a chepza shel iser. Avala achila v'ashtia. Afag abdelav sakanihi levla lo gazer rabbanan deyesh lahatr mishim dekal hecha, dehavi rebusa deyenuka lo gazer rabbanan kide isa biyuma. This is the way a child lives, and this is what the kid needs in order to survive. He has breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, he has a snack at 10, and he has his lunch at 12. Doesn't make a difference that he's not going to drop dead if I don't give him the snack. Doesn't matter, this is the way a kid lives, and the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Ayin Chesem and Beis, that Hayne Ravise, if this is the normal, natural way for a kid to live, we are allowed to give him whatever he needs on Yom Kippur. So that is when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur. Yeah. Oh, it's a very good question. It's a very good question. That's what I'm about to get to. So this is talking about at a time when there's an Isser Aseh. So what about giving my child, take your example, just change it a little bit. Am I allowed to give my child something to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos? Right? So there's no Isser Aseh to eat before Kiddush, just I'm being Mevatel. The Aseh tells me I have to make Kiddush before I eat. So am I allowed to give my child something to eat before Kiddush? So says the Chumash HaDeshen, it wasn't enough room on here, so I didn't put it on. He says it's mutter to give my child matzah on Erev Pesach, right? Even though we are all machmir not to have matzah on Erev Pesach. Says the Chumash HaDeshen, I'm allowed to give the kid matzah on Erev Pesach, or to give him something to eat on Shabbos before Kiddush. Why? Because the only iser of sfisa biyadayim, the only iser of feeding something to my child, which is usher, that it's only applicable when it's something that's really usher. But over here, there's no iser involved. It's just that I'm not being mekayim the asay. So therefore, when it comes to something like that, where I'm not being mekayim the asay, I don't have to be careful not to give to my child. A shayla that came up halacha l'maisa today, that is based on this Chumash HaDeshen, is the following. There was someone who was in yeshiva, whose daughter is now in school, and she wanted a water bottle for school. So they started sending her with a regular water bottle. But then she said, no, she wants her own special one, same one every day. So they decided to go out to the store and buy her a little water bottle that happened to be metal. So the guy came in and he wanted to know, does he have to do tefillas kelim on his daughter's water bottle? No adults are going to use it. It's tiny. It's just for the baby. It's just for the three-year-old kid. So should we assume that there's a reason for me to go ahead and be tovel the keli for my child? So this guy mistakenly went ahead and toveled it and made a bracha. I think it's a bracha of atala. And therefore I suggested that he go ahead and drink from the water bottle. This way it's not a bracha of atala because it's actually going to be used by you. But let's say it's only going to be used by the child. So what is the person supposed to do? The answer is, the Trumas HaDeshen tells us over here, where it's only a mitzvah saseh, right? If you use a kli that's not tovold, you're being mevatel naseh, tefilas kelim. So if it's talking just about being mevatel naseh, the Trumas HaDeshen writes, there's no reason to be machmer on the kid. So therefore, you're allowed to give the kid to eat before kiddush. You're allowed to give the kid the matzah on Erev Pesach. So too, you're allowed to give the kid the not tovold keli. That would be mutter. That's not something that would fall under the category of Safisa Biyadayim, and you certainly should not make a bracha when you're going ahead and doing the Tefillas Kelim on that. Yeah?
I don't see it. I don't see the comparison between the two.
Why?
It means if you have a Keli that you make for the kid's hot oatmeal every morning, and you know the adult doesn't need it from it, you don't have the title?
Achanami, yes. If you have a spoon, that's the case. If you have a spoon, let's say, a baby spoon, that's the case, my father always says. You have a baby spoon that's metal, you don't have to turbulent. Achanami. You're not mechuyev. It's a good example. You usually, very often, you have a metal spoon. You're not mechuyev. That's what the Trumas HaDeshen was saying. What? An achanami, but to do with a bracha is very questionable.
For any kid under 13, in general, I mean, if it doesn't make a difference if it's 3 or not.
I mean, but then when it comes to chinuch, you want him to get used to understanding. No, let's say when he's 10, 11 years old, and he understands what kiddush is. So then you should wait. You should tell him to wait, unless he's, you know, falling to pieces. So then it's a different question. So now, what about giving a cut on something which is only aser mitam minog? Right? So what's the halacha there? Is it aser to feed something to a cut on which is only aser mitam minog? So, when it comes to this, let's say, for example, am I allowed to give my cut on kidneys on Pesach or not? So Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes in his Chuvas Yechabedas, in Chelek Aleph Siman Tes, a very simple issue, and he says that he doesn't think there's any reason to be machmer on kidneys for ketanim, because that is only aser mitam minig, and anything... What? No, he quotes Gedolei HaPoskim in Ashkenaz that also assumed that there would be no issue in giving a...
He's having enough.
Yeah. Kidneys is not aser b'anah. No. I'm allowed to keep it in my house on Pesach. Yeah. I'm allowed to give kidneys, yeah. It's no problem. I'm allowed to have anah. So that's what he writes, and therefore we assume that something... So here's the punchline. That's what we assume when it comes to simply a minhag. Rabbi Avadi Yosef proves from kidneys that the Gedolei Achronim say that there's no reason to be machmer on your child and not give him kidneys on Pesach. So now let's translate that to our case. When we have a child who has his fleishig at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, and now an hour later we want to give him the milk. So as long as it's not within the hour, that's what we said, within the first hour, that's real Isur Derabbanan. So usually we're machmer in Shulchan Aruch not to give a child something which is Isur Derabbanan, even though it's only Isur Derabbanan, you're not allowed to give the child. But once we're past the first hour, now we're only dealing with a minug ba'alma, right? The rest of the hours until 6 are only midrabanan and minug ba'alma. So then we assume you're allowed to feed a child something which is only aser mitam minug. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll discuss this a little further, because there's a further question. Let's say my son is younger than chinuch, and he's screaming his head off at night, and it's within the first hour when he had his fleishigs, and he wants his bottle. We've all heard this, right? The kid is screaming and he wants his bottle. And you're going to say, oh, no, it's not within the first hour, you have to wait. He's going to go crazy. So what's the status of a child when he's screaming and yelling and kicking and going crazy because he wants his milk before he goes to sleep? Maybe the halacha should be different in a case like that. The answer is it is different, and maybe we'll see that next week. For now, yeah, any questions? Okay, was this clear? We have all the categories of follow down? Fine. I just want to share a quick vart. I put these two things together from the same sefer. It's a sefer called Shivim Panim LaTorah from the author who wrote the book about Rav Kook and about Rav Aryeh Levin. His name is Simcha Raz. So he wrote a beautiful set of svarim. I just bought it this summer. It's a couple of years old. Called Shivim Panim LaTorah, where he puts all these nice pitgamim from different people. So over here, he writes in this week's parasha, I just want to look at the bottom part, because both of them are a little bit similar. So I just cut them and put them together. But he says, we won't read it inside, but basically he writes, so Rivka is going crazy, and she's wondering, why is my child jumping out at the Beis Medrash, and also at the Beis Avodah Zarah? What's going on with this kid? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh Rivka, don't worry about it, everything's fine. Why? Because Shnei Goyim Mibitnech, nothing to worry about. One is going to be a big tzaddik, and one is a big Rasha. Nothing to worry about. Imagine, what kind of nechama is that? One's going to be a big Rasha, thank you very much, I'm not interested. So what is the big nechama involved in that? So he quotes here from one of the Chassidish Rebbes. He says, the answer is, because I would rather know that my child is going to be a Rasha than to know that my child is going to be a faker. Meaning at least I know what I'm dealing with. At least I know what I'm dealing with. At least I know how to take the requisite steps that I need to deal with this child. But if he's just going to be playing both sides, and he's going to be on the one hand like this, on the other hand like that, he's going to be a pseudo-personality on different occasions, so that's going to be a major problem down the line. We're not going to know how to deal with him. And he says, that is much worse than knowing Shnei Goyim Mibitnech. One is a tzaddik and one's going to be a Rasha. So that was the chama that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to Rivka. He said, nothing to worry about. Shnei Goyim Mibitnech. Each person, what? So if you look, that's why I put the first part on top. You read that later. Why didn't Yitzchak know? It's an interesting part. Okay, I wish everyone a wonderful...